Well, happy Father's Day. I was always anxious about Father's Day because I was always afraid that I would be given a gift that I couldn't afford. Are you following? Hey, Dad, you got 50 bucks? I want to buy you something. That's how that works. So it's a little different than Mother's Day. Is Stanley here? Stanley's here this morning. And is John Bodenhamer here? He normally comes early, and I didn't see him. But I want to tell you about these two guys going fishing at Lake Cumberland. They rented a boat, and these guys are serious about their fishing. If you ever talk to Stanley or John, you'll know that. And they are pulling in fish as fast as they can throw their line out into the water. And it's starting to get dark, and they're going to have to head back in. So Stanley tells John, you better somehow mark this spot. This is the best spot we found, and we need to come back to it tomorrow. So mark the spot. And John says, I got it. So they get back in, and Stanley said, did you mark the spot? And John said, yeah, I sure did. I put an X right here on the boat where we were catching all the fish. And Stanley said, you big dummy, we may not even get the same boat next time. I had a professor in college who would always repeat the same thing when we found a verse that spoke to a question. He would always say, X marks the spot. Well, today is one of those X marks the spot verses for the church, especially the current church. And it's found in John 8:32. I want to read it, but then I want to give you the context. Jesus said, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, this verse sets up an interesting back and forth dialogue between Jesus and a group of people, and they don't like what he has to say. Matter of fact, they don't like it so much that after he says it, they want to stone him. And it's several verses. I'll read it fast, but it holds together pretty well. So check out John 8, 31 through 44. So the Jews, who have disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. Abraham's our father, they answered. Well, if you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you're looking for a way to kill me. A man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I've not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Whoa. Whoa. Man, when we say the devil's a liar, we don't mean he runs around with a plastic pitchfork telling you stuff that you know on the surface isn't true. The way he operates is deception. He specializes in things that sound true. I've never heard the audible voice of the devil. Well, maybe the ladies on The View. But other than that, I'm just kidding. Easy. I'm kind of just kidding. It's the devil's stated job to keep you from knowing the truth. My grandson the other day, he's telling me these jokes now. And some of them aren't very preachable, but he's my middle grandson, 9 years old. He said, Poppy, you never want to buy a wig from the devil. And, of course, I played along, and I said, why not? He said, because there will be hell to pay. I think he's right. Man, the devil is sneaky. So he will use the things that God has said and get you to believe half of it. And by believing half of it, you completely change what the Lord was trying to communicate. For instance, I've heard so many people, even non-church people, say, the truth shall set you free. How many times have you heard somebody say that? I've heard TV anchors say it. I've heard politicians say it. I've heard church people say it. I've heard non-church people say it. The truth shall set you free. That's not all Jesus said. He said you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. The freedom doesn't come from the fact that there is a truth. The freedom comes from knowing the truth. So let's handle this life-changing verse by unpacking the lies that the devil has convinced our society are true. Number one, lie. Number one, you've got to live your own truth. That's a lie. A few years ago, I started hearing this phrase, sort of this new cultural phrase, I've got to live my own truth. How do you jive that with what Jesus just said? He didn't say, you shall know your truth. I mean, truth is that makes truth sound like shoes. I'll try it on, and if I don't like it, then I'll just get a different pair. Listen, truth is truth even if you don't agree with it, right? Truth is truth even when you don't like it. Truth is truth even when you don't feel it. And I can hear the disagreements coming, so I might as well double down. I'll tell you what I believe. Truth is not choosable. Truth is not choosable. What people really mean when they say this is my truth is this is my belief, and there's a big difference between a belief and a truth, because we're often tempted to turn personal experiences into absolute truth. For instance, I got a bad haircut years and years ago, so guess what? All barbers are terrible. No, just Hank, my barber, back then, was terrible. Well, I used to go to church, but church people are all hypocrites. No, just Mike is a hypocrite. Not you, Mike, not you. I was just reaching for a name, and that's my older brother's name, and he put dead caterpillars in my socks, and I've never gotten over it, so that's another one of my truths. Older brothers are jerks. How about that? Maybe you set out to do something, and it didn't work. It was a failure. But what did you do? You turned the event into an identity, and now it's not just that you failed, it's that you're a failure. So what I want to know is it a truth or is it a trap? Because when Jesus said the truth will set you free, he wasn't talking to drug lords, and he wasn't talking to evil mobsters and wicked people. He was talking to people who believed in him. He was talking to church people. But there's a big difference between your experience and truth. Truth comes from God. There was a time in your life, I think, where most of you believed that somebody in the middle of the night when you lost a tooth snuck into your house and put money under your pillow. Right? Jared's my oldest. I would slip in his room when he lost a tooth and I'd put a quarter under his pillow. And then we had Jasmine, and we moved it up to 50 cents for her when she lost a tooth. Then we had Buzz, moved it up to $1 for Buzz when she loses a tooth. And then Jayla came along, and we put $5 under her pillow until she started losing too many teeth. And I decided to rip the Band-Aid off, and I pulled her aside, and I said, listen, little girl, there ain't no tooth fairy. We're done with this. See, the truth saved me money. If we kept on doing that, it was going to get really expensive to not tell them the truth. My dad has always had dentures, at least all my days, and we were younger. We called them his substitutes. But he had them, where he's from, I think they invented the toothbrush where he's from, because had it been invented somewhere else, they'd call it the teeth brush. All the girls down there had real even teeth. Down in Kentucky, 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9 were all missing. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, my dad had his dentures laying out one day, and I took Jayla down there, and she was really little, and she had just got money for a lost tooth under her pillow, and she saw my dad's dentures, and she's like, Dad, Papa needs to put those under the pillow. He's going to be rich. Let me ask you. Have you come to the point yet where it's cost you enough to be stuck in a belief about who you are and what life is or what someone did to you that you're ready to accept the truth? For some of us, nothing in our life will change this year. You know why? Because you didn't get sick enough of what happened last year. I'm reminded of something Sweet Brown said in a TV interview and stunned to this lady. I like her. She experienced a fire in her apartment complex in Oklahoma, and she was interviewed on the news. Check her out.
To go give me a cold pop. And then I thought somebody was barbecuing. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Then then I ran out. I didn't grab no shoes or nothing, Jesus. I ran for my life. And then the smoke got me. I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
When you think you know your truth, ain't nobody got time for that. Because what you know is your personal experience and the things you believe. And Jesus is talking about knowing the truth. Now, the people he was talking to are like you and me. He said, if you hold to my teaching, you are my disciples, and the truth shall set you free. I stayed a few years ago in a revival in Toledo, Ohio, with a family. Nowadays, they put preachers in hotels, but back then, they would take you in for a week and give you a room and always say the same thing, make yourself at home. Well, this older couple had a finished basement, didn't have any kids at home, so gave me the basement for the week. It was pretty cool. And they said, make yourself at home. So one morning, I decided to make myself home. I went up to see if they had any orange juice in the refrigerator. And I walked upstairs, and they had Jane Fonda workout videos on TV. But here's the dealio. They're sitting there watching Jane Fonda workout videos, both eating a bowl of ice cream. And it's 10 in the morning. They did not know that they would become a sermon illustration that I've used for the last 30 years. Watching Jane Fonda videos while eating ice cream. Now, that'll preach. I don't know a lot about Jane Fonda workout videos, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't work. If all you're going to do is watch, you might as well eat ice cream. Yet I climb into this pulpit every Sunday. I have since 1979, and people come to church, and all they do is watch, and then they wonder why this ain't working. Because you're supposed to do more than watch. And man, oh man, is the devil crafty. Because not only does he convince you that you need to live your truth, he convinces you that if you knew more, you would do more. That's the second lie. If you knew more, you would do more. That's what the devil's preaching because it sounds right, but it's not. Jesus didn't say if you would know more truth, it'll set you free. No, if you hold to my teaching, you are my disciples, and the truth will set you free. So Satan tries to convince you that if you knew more, you would do more, but that's backwards. Because Jesus says if you would do, then you would know. Listen, this may run counter to what we're feeling or wanting. People say, I know the truth. I should be here on Sunday for worship. But my truth is Sunday's the only day I have to sleep in or get things done. I know the truth. I should be in the Bible more than I am. But my truth is, with work and family, there's just not enough time. I know the truth. I should forgive him for the pain he caused me years ago. But my truth is, I will never forgive him for what he did. I know the truth. I should be able to appreciate the mercy and grace of God. But my truth is guilt and shame, and I will feel how I feel. I know the truth. I shouldn't worry about tomorrow. But my truth is I'm anxious about what's going to happen tomorrow. I know the truth. I shouldn't complain because the Bible condemns it. But my truth is people and everything give me so much reason to complain. I know the truth. Jesus is coming back. He will usher in eternity. But my truth is I can't see past what's going on in my life right now. Again, we know the truth, but we let our personal experience and circumstance determine truth for us when Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Here's a lie. All you really need to do is hear the truth. Not hold it. Jesus wants to get right down where we live. Here's the formula. You have to hold it to know it, not hear it, but hold it. I came up with an illustration in my head when I was not sleeping one night a few weeks ago, and I hope this works. It worked okay in the first service, so I've asked Craig if he would come help me. Come on up here, brother. And I'll demonstrate for you what I'm really trying to say. So here in my hands, I hold the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth. Truth shall set you free. So Craig, I'm going to let you hold the truth. Catch that, all right? Hold on to that. Now let me tell you why we can't hold the truth very long. It's because it's hard to hold the truth when you're holding on to all these other things. It's hard to hold the truth when you're on Facebook 10 hours every day. Hard to hold the truth when you're TikToking for 8 hours. I'm showing my age, ain't I? Hard to hold the truth when you've tried to cram it into a life that's already completely filled up with garbage. So I'll show you how this works. Give me back my Bible, Craig. I want you to hold those, all right? So we're holding on to all this trash, and the only way to hold the truth, now this worked in my head, so we'll see if this works here. The only way to hold the truth is to drop the trash, right? The only way to hold the truth is to drop the trash. You can't hold the trash and the truth at the same time. And what happens is, thank you, Craig. Give him a hand. Didn't he do a good job? I mean, anybody could have done it, but he did a good job. So. I mean, the devil wants you to hold on to all this trash. You can't hold the truth. I'm telling you, you need to drop the trash. But you hold on to it for so long, the trash becomes your truth. That's what's happening in our society. The trash has become the truth. So the devil's good at convincing you something's true when it's not. So if the truth will set you free, guess what a lie will do? It'll keep you bound. And the lie he's telling many, many people is this: you're not worthy, God doesn't really love you, you are nothing but trash. Well, that might be how you feel. That's not what the truth says. Here's what the truth says: you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are his children. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are a masterpiece. You are a member of his family. You are a citizen of heaven. You are handpicked by God. You are forgiven. You are free from condemnation. You are purchased and redeemed. You are saved and set apart. You are free in Christ. You may not be who your family says you are. You may not be who your friends say you are. You may not be who your coworkers say you are. You may not be who your church says you are. But I'll guarantee you this morning, you are who God Almighty says you are. And while your experiences and your feelings and your world can make you feel like trash, that's not the truth. And as followers of Jesus, we have a responsibility to recognize the threat to truth. And it's coming from two different places. First of all, there's an outside threat, and we're beating this back every day, aren't we? It's being generated outside of the church, but it's having an effect on the church, and it's being done by making unhealthy decisions and behaviors appear healthy. I don't know how familiar you are with Revelation 13 and 14, but it talks about a dragon who gives birth to two beasts, and those beasts are false religion and corrupt government. Now stay with me for a minute. If you study any society or culture that has ever embraced relativism, which concludes there's no right or wrong, the results are always, 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 one more, always the same. The pattern never changes. First of all, we overlook evil, then we permit evil, then we legalize evil, then we promote evil, then we celebrate evil, then we kill people who call it evil. We live in a culture where feelings are embraced over facts. That's not good for anyone. The notion that there are many truths might seem suited to a diverse society, but when everyone is free to define their own truth as he or she prefers, then we're in trouble. I'll give you a math equation. You all are probably pretty sharp. I bet you can get this. 5 plus 5 equals 10. Are you sure about that? 5 plus 5 equals 10. I don't know. I play shuffleboard with these guys on Thursdays. Wesley Carmichael and Phil Jacobs and Randy Quackenbush. And the way they keep score, I'm not sure they can get this answer right. I asked Randy in front of them. I said, "What's 5 plus 5, brother?" He said, 10. And Wesley and Phil both said, "Mark, give him another chance." So 5 plus 5 is 10. But if we accept relativism, then we have to accept 16 as an answer. Otherwise, you are an intellectual bigot. A few decades ago, a man named Marshall Hemsworth founded the Church of Asylumism. Check this out. He taught that there was a civilization that existed millions and millions of years ago in a galaxy far away. And these aliens on this planet ate what amounted to some tainted veggie dip, and it scrambled their brains, and they sent these insane aliens to an uninhabited planet to where they could live out their crazy thoughts and desires. Guess what that planet is? That would be planet Earth. You and I, according to that teaching, are relatives of those crazy insane aliens. Now, I'll be honest, when I watch a Mike Tyson interview or Jerry Springer rerun or go to a Fugate family reunion, I start to think maybe they're onto something. Man, you look at what's going on in our world, what word is there for it but insane. I did a little research for this. There are three professors in Oregon, and they all teach different classes. They're not believers, the best I could find. James Lindsay, Helen Pluckrose, and Peter Boghausen. They decided to prove a point. They wrote 20 bogus research papers using bogus data on bogus facts. They got 14 of their papers published in well-respected journals. And the one that got the most traction was why to prove their point. And none of these three professors believe in God or his word, but I applaud them for identifying the outside threat that relativism is imposing on our society. And how about our poor kids having to wade through all this nonsense trying to figure things out? I'm not shielding my children from accepting others. I'm shielding my children from accepting this world standard of truth. I'm shielding them from being indoctrinated by the world. I'm raising my children to love everyone while also raising them to love their God enough to stand for him. My children will understand the symbolism of a rainbow defined by God's word. It's not as our world falsely represents. I am raising my kids to know that their identity is defined by God, not by this world. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I'm sure you've read about this middle schooler in Massachusetts who was suspended for wearing a t-shirt to school that evidently was offensive. He's 12 years old. His name is Liam Morrison, and he wears a shirt with a truth that should be fairly obvious. There are only two genders. This same school celebrates gender diversity, has a special Pride Month, but Liam's biblical belief that there are only two genders, male and female, is a violation of the school's speech policy. This isn't about a t-shirt. About a public school telling a seventh grader he's not allowed to hold a view that differs from the school's preferred orthodoxy. In other words, he's being told as kids all over this country that they're not allowed to stand for and believe what has always been true, what is true now, and what will be true 100 years from now. And all of that coming from an outside threat. That's easy for us to identify. Truth is not choosable. Now, there are many things that are. We had a great week of VBS. Jenny did a great job. Organized, and it was smooth. It was someone that's more on my level. But I'm fascinated by the choices that they make, the clothes they wear, you know, what they like to eat. Talking to one kid this week, it reminded me of something that I had saved years ago. Check this out. Our teacher asked what my favorite animal was. I said fried chicken. She said I wasn't funny, but she couldn't have been right because everyone else laughed. My parents told me to always tell the truth. I did. Fried chicken is my favorite animal. I told my dad what happened. He said my teacher was probably a member of PETA. He said they love animals very much. I do too, especially chicken, pork, and beef. Anyway, my teacher sent me to the principal's office. I told him what happened, and he laughed. Then he told me not to do it again. The next day in class, my teacher asked me what my favorite live animal was. I told her it was chicken. She asked why. I told her it was because you could make them into fried chicken. She sent me back to the principal's office. He laughed again and told me, don't do it again. I don't understand. My parents taught me to be honest, but my teacher doesn't like it when I'm honest. Today, my teacher asked me to tell her what famous person I admired most. I told her Colonel Sanders. And then the kid said, guess where I am now? So what you eat, what you wear, where you go to church, there's a lot of things that are choosable. Truth ain't. What's coming from an outside threat, we're generally all together on. We can see it coming. We can resist. We can stand strong. What's scary is that there's an inside threat, too. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7:15? Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. And Satan is so deceptive. He sows the weeds in the wheat, and his desire is the same as when he slithered up in the garden to Eve and said, did God really say that that was true? And there's two forms of this inside threat we have to guard against as a church. First of all, radical progressive theology. There is a teaching now that the Bible has been mistranslated and misinterpreted for centuries. And if you believe that, that opens the door to important subjects like gender and sexuality. So we have churches fighting about that very issue now. It's not a new thing. Paul described the Roman culture this way. Radical progressive theology has another component, and here's where it's really dangerous. It's a radical prayer theology, and this is taking place in all over the country with these self-appointed apostles and prophets who claim to be speaking directly from God. Now, I want you to listen to me this morning. They want us to change our prayer lives into bold declarations to God, telling God what to do, instead of asking God what we want him to do. And if we're all in agreement, it releases angels who turn these declarations into reality. And you say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, that'll break down every time. I'll give you an example. December 14th, 2019, Andrew and Callie Hilgenthal found their 2-year-old daughter, Olive, had died in her sleep. Can you imagine? Callie was a Bethel Church worship leader in Redding, California. Immediately, a social media campaign began with the hashtag, Wake Up Olive. Millions of people boldly declaring that God was going to raise this girl from the dead. They were in agreement as a church. This self-proclaimed prophet led this charge, and they didn't bury Olive for 6 days. At the same time, this self-proclaimed prophet declared that certain political leaders were going to win specific elections. This same guy, I did some research, has predicted Jesus would come back 16 times in the last 30 years. He was wrong every time, but he would not claim responsibility for being wrong. His answer to that was not enough people believed him and had faith in his prophecy, so Jesus didn't come back. Man, that reminds me of something I read a long time ago. A mountain lion ate an entire bull and felt so good he started roaring. He kept roaring until a hunter came where he was and killed him. And the lesson I took from that was, if you're full of bull, you need to keep your mouth shut. Right? This prophet, when Olive didn't rise from the dead and the political candidates lost that he said were going to win, he shifted the blame back to the people and said Christians didn't boldly declare and believe God was going to make it happen. Now, I want you to remember something. There's not an Old Testament prophet or a New Testament apostle who ever prophesied on behalf of God and their prophecy didn't come true. And Paul capsules where we are today with this inside threat. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. You've heard me say it before because it's ingrained in my heart. Feelings come and feelings go and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God, not else is worth believing. I'll trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever, for though all things will pass away, God's word will last forever. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, how many of you would claim to be mourning people? Let me ask it the other way. How many of you would claim to not be mourning people? Okay, that's most of you. I don't know how you start your day, but let me give you a music analogy and then I'll close. There's a standard tuning note. It's kind of universal, and it's the A above middle C. I think I know enough to find it. Everybody do that. Oh, you guys are way better in the early service. We need to tune our heart to God's word, and then our days will look different. But you know what most of our days start like? It's not that note. Most of us wake up, and our day begins this way. Try tuning to that. Oh, that's good. Tune my heart, tune my mind. But then the chaos comes and we wake up and you got to get back to it. One more time, do it with me. Here's the tuning fork right here. You want a good day, you want a good month, you want a good year, you want a good life. Here's the tuning fork right here. There was a man that I really respected. If anyone's going to heaven, it's him because of Jesus. But he said something right before he died that we all thought was pretty cool, but through the years, I think I would change it. Now, he said, I can't wait to wake up and find out it was all true. Well, let me tell you this. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait. You can know the truth now, and the truth will set you free. Jesus said in Matthew 7, these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. You shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. This is a verse, church, that can change your life. Amen.